Hey, macrodosing listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Big T, what are you teed off about?
I think this has a chance to be the most controversial teed off we've ever had.
Oh, let's go. Shit, let's go. Oh, fuck.
Welcome back to Macrodosing. It's Nanodosing. Today is Tuesday. It's June 6th. Happy June 6th.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, we're back. Macrodosing, Nanodose, short sode today. We've got Donnie, the Wonton Don, in studio. Thank you for rejoining us. You just did a mini dose, Nanodose?
Yeah.
With the guy that climbed Everest.
Yeah, check that out if you haven't listened to it. I think it's the best extra dose to date. We got some good extra doses.
High praise from Billy.
That guy was very impressive. When you watch my vids, though, there's a couple other people on the trip that might be more impressive than him.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, he did join the 6 Mile High Club.
Yeah, I think so. He had sex at base camp. Is that 6 miles up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that confirmed?
No, but that was just the tagline. That's like, I put.
Base camp's at 17,500 feet. I don't know if that's 6 miles.
Three-mile high club, okay. Whatever. Specifics okay. Are stupid.
Yeah, specifics are irrelevant. He still had sex at altitude.
He might he'll probably be the first person to have sex on Mars, we've decided.
Yes.
But we got a lot to cover today. There's some pretty serious stuff in the news.
Very serious.
I don't know where we want to start.
Well, let's chill out for a second, Billy. Billy's coming in hot right now.
No, but I mean, this is some of the biggest news in our universe, in our worldview, in a long time.
Yeah, you know what? Billy's right, because if we're starting out a podcast, this little podcast, and we don't begin it by talking about the fact that there is extraterrestrial spaceships that have been recovered on Earth.
Yeah, like the fuck?
Well, yeah, I didn't hear about this.
That should be above the fold on page A1.
Yeah, dude, freaking whistleblower comes out and reports to Congress and the community inspector general, the intelligent community inspector, that there is, with classified documents, he comes out and says that he has evidence that the United States has partial and intact non-human craft that they've recovered. And not only is it a domestic local phenomenon, but an international phenomenon that multiple governments have recovered non-human crafts.
Mm-hmm. Now, so I know people have been saying that for a while, but I mean,
this is a whistleblower.
But it's somebody. Somebody from the government. So he's an intelligence official. His name is David Grush, Grusch. He's a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the National Reconnaissance Office. He served as the reconnaissance office's representative to the UAP Task Force, the Unexplained Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. So he seems to be legit. Really, really bad timing for the fact that we've recovered intact and partial alien craft on our Earth to break right as Taylor Swift dumps her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's the more important story? What should we start with?
This is serious.
Dude, Maddie Healy. Healy actually dump her?
I don't give a fuck about that.
No, we'll get to that in a second. This is pretty big stuff, though. Taylor Swift is single, which means that we're about to have a banger of a new album come out.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be writing songs about Cumtown, which is fantastic. Her boyfriend, Maddie Healy, went on the Adam Friedland show. Shout out Adam Friedland. We should have him on this show at some point. His show is very, very funny. And but they can be very much like pressing the line and going over the line sometimes. So Maddie Healy goes on the show, jokes along with them about, I think that they were doing like Chinese accents, like stereotypical Asian accents, things like that. And Maddie Healy was like, well, I'm I'm with Adam and Nick, so I should laugh and I should take part of this. Mm-hmm. And then all the Swifties turned on her, and they're like, "Yo, you got to break up with your boyfriend." And now she broke up with Matt Healy because of 2/3 of Cumtown.
Just to clarify, he was mocking Japanese, Hawaiian, and Scottish people.
Okay.
Yeah. Not Chinese people.
Okay, my mistake.
Yeah.
Well, they might have been mocking Japanese people because they were saying Chinese. I don't know. I haven't listened to it.
Okay.
But thank you for the clarification. Yeah.
Okay, so non-human intelligence.
Do you think she's just going to re-record her old album, or is she going to write something new?
There is other beings on this earth with us that are highly intelligent.
No, she's probably going to say.
And we're going to talk about fucking Taylor Swift.
She'll probably say it's from the vault, she actually just wrote it last week.
Are you good? Yeah, she'll be like, "This is an old song that I wrote a long time ago."
That's what she did. Yeah, that's what she did for the Swifties. Will know for "You're Losing Me." It's like about a breakup where she's like, "I'm falling out of love with you." There's no way she didn't write that like 3 weeks ago about Joe.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Did you listen?
Totally.
Yeah. And it's like. It's like, how can you say I'm gray and not tell I'm sick?
I was about to just say that line, yeah.
Exactly. No, yeah, it's like, yeah.
I might write a song for her.
And I wouldn't marry me either, a pathological people pleaser. Like, that's so her.
That is so her.
There is non-human intelligence. And we're talking about fucking
The aliens. So aliens are real, and we've got their spaceships.
Well, we don't know if they're from other planets. I actually think it's more likely they're from this planet.
But they would not be an alien.
Yeah, they'd be just other intelligent beings. You can tell by like the nomenclature, like the words they're using, that they're like they don't know it is non-human craft.
Non-human origin, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So
what if they're like monkey cars? Like,
oh, hell yeah.
We found out like, holy shit, there's like, I think monkeys have cars.
Have you guys been watching Chimp Empire? That is a fucking banger documentary.
Yes.
Dude, Chimp Empire is fucking sick.
That sounds good, but Billy, let's talk about, we don't need to waste time talking about chimps. Let's talk about these UFOs.
Yeah, exactly. That's the most important. Like, they're here. Like, this is a whistleblower protected under the Whistleblower Act. Mm-hmm. Like, this means that this is real.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I want to see some pictures. Like, that scene in Independence Day when they're like, "We have recovered alien craft." Like, here they are in Area 51. Like, that is real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is... Do you think he's going to go on Rogan?
I don't know. I hope he does.
So what kind of media has he done?
I don't think he's... I think he's trying to steer away. I think the only media he's done is like gone through the whistleblower thing.
I think he went on News Nation, maybe.
Okay. Are they reliable?
I think so. I think that they are, yeah.
Now, could he be in serious trouble for revealing this? Like, is there a chance he goes to jail or he has to go on the run like Snowden?
There's definitely a chance, yeah. I mean, somebody can say that they're a whistleblower, and then other people will say, "Well, you're putting lives in danger."
I don't think he's.
I mean, honestly, it's not much. It's just confirmed what everyone's always thought,
that aliens are real,
that we might have some craft, and I think they've used it to reverse engineer. Like, they may have found the craft and then used the technology to reverse engineer into some of the UFOs we're seeing, and they're actually the U.S. government, actually makes me feel good. We have something to stop nukes.
I guess the question is, why? How do we know that it's non-human origin? How can we tell that right off the bat?
It's probably technology that we do not know exists, that we have not discovered.
Right, but maybe it's very difficult to say, like, there's no chance that this is human if it's just advanced technology, because maybe it's AI created.
Well, maybe
the robots are building their own ships.
Yeah. But I feel like the U.S. government has a total list of possible technology, because we usually create all of it. So, like, if it's something we don't know how to build, it's definitely non-human.
I think I'm with Donnie. I would like to see monkey cars.
Yeah.
If there are monkeys that had, like, their own racetrack in the middle of the jungle, that'd be sick.
I wonder if there's any monkeys that have built the wheel yet. Because I was watching Chimp Empire. They're pretty, you know...
Monkeys have tools. They'll use like spears.
Yeah, to kill colobus.
The wheel, monkeys. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of humans didn't invent the wheel. Like, the Incans were very advanced. No wheels.
Yeah. Mm.
What if it's a bird plane? What if a bird invented a plane because they're like, I'm sick of just using my wings all the time?
It says, we are not talking about prosaic origins or identities. What does prosaic mean?
Sounds like probiotic or...
I'm guessing that it means old technology, so it might be new technology. I don't know.
Having the style or diction of prose, lacking poetic Beauty? I think I'm spelling it wrong.
I don't know.
You're talking about P-R-O-Z, Donnie?
No, P-R-O-S-A-I-C.
Oh. Yeah, that's...
That's what they were quoted. We're not talking about prosaic origins or identities.
Unromantic origins.
Okay. Commonplace.
Okay, yes, all right.
Unimaginative.
Big T got it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm a little bit pissed off at this guy because... It's one thing to say that I want to see pictures.
It kind of shows that Congress has been, you know, left in the dark on what we really know about our own planet and the universe,
mm-hmm.
which shows that, you know, there is a, you know, a clearance in the government that probably the president isn't even privy to. And mm-hmm. who the hell are these people who think that they're above the entire government to know things that everyone else doesn't?
Would you want Joe Biden to know if there were aliens?
I don't think he even knows he's president.
I think that might be the one thing that he knows.
Yeah, you could tell him it doesn't matter.
I mean, Turf Monster took him this weekend.
That's true.
Who put that smooth surface there?
Yeah.
Probably the same guy that did the grass at the Super Bowl. Chiefs are in the White House today. Think about it. The sod father got him.
Sod father.
It was very funny when he fell down. He just like stood up and he pointed at the sandbag. That was on the stage.
Is that what it was?
I think he tripped over a wire. I think there was like a tiny, small little wire that nobody should trip over.
You know,
it's like the seventh or eighth wire.
You know when one of your grandparents reaches a certain age and they just don't go upstairs anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Biden is on that level.
We got to get Joe one of those cool chairs that goes up and down the stairs. You know what I'm talking about?
The rails.
Those are sick.
Yeah, like that. The fake TV show that they had on The Office with Jack Black falling in love with the old lady.
Yeah.
Joe should have one of those mm-hmm. for sure. And he should not walk anywhere in the White House. When he's coming down the hallway, you know, the one that Obama walked down to announce Bin Laden, he should just have a chair that just,
that'd be
just
awesome.
Moves down there. Honestly, like, scooter life is pretty cool. I can't wait to get to the point. I'm going to be a very early scooter adopter.
Oh, you should see Dukes. Dukes has got a little scoot cart. He broke his ankle.
Yeah.
And he's been whipping it. He's been like hitting hills, hitting ramps with it, with his broken ankle. Very entertaining. I'm of the superstition that if you use crutches, wheelchair, or scooter before you're actually injured, you're just like going to get injured as mm-hmm. karma for messing around with it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to use his scooter, but that's just my beliefs. But speaking of Washington.
Well, hang on, Billy. I want to read from this article on the Debrief. And I'm not that familiar with the Debrief as a website. It looks good. It looks like it was designed by somebody that knows how to design a real website. So that's mm-hmm. that's a good start. It says a former intelligence official turned whistleblower has given Congress and the intelligence community inspector general extensive classified information about deeply covert programs that he says possess retrieved intact and partially intact craft of non-human origin. The information, he says, has been illegally withheld from Congress, and he filed a complaint alleging that he suffered illegal retaliation for his confidential disclosures, reported here for the first time. Other intelligence officials, both active and retired, with knowledge of these programs through their work in various agencies, have independently provided similar corroborating information, both on and off the record. David Charles Grush, a decorated former combat officer in Afghanistan, is a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the National Reconnaissance Office. He served as the Reconnaissance Office representative to the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force from 2019 to 2021. From late 2001 to July 2022, he was the NGA's co-lead for Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Analysis, and he was its representative to the task force. He says that the recoveries of partial fragments through and up to intact vehicles have been made for decades through the present day by the government, its allies, and defense contractors. Analysis has determined the objects retrieved are of exotic origin, non-human intelligence, whether extraterrestrial or unknown origin, based on the vehicle morphologies and material science testing, and the possession of unique atomic arrangements and radiological signatures. In filing his complaint, he's represented by a lawyer who has served as the original intelligence community inspector general. This material includes intact and partially intact vehicles. I mean, this sounds legit.
Yeah.
It sounds legit to me, but he's also saying that it goes back decades.
Oh, 100% goes back decades.
So they've known about this for a long time.
Yeah. They've definitely recovered stuff. Like, Roswell happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something happened.
Well, do you remember in Independence Day? There's a scene on the airplane with Bill Pullman, who plays the president, who that guy should just be president in every movie. He was great as the president.
Incredible.
He should actually be president in real life. I've known nothing about his politics.
That's how Zelensky got in.
Yeah,
power.
We need a guy that looks like a president that does cool president stuff in movies. We'll vote for him. So in Independence Day, he's on the airplane. He's on Air Force One after the aliens have attacked, and we're trying to figure out how to fight back against them. And the dad, Jeff Goldblum's dad, starts yelling at about, you knew about this and you did nothing. You knew that aliens existed. He's like, we had no idea that aliens existed. And then his CIA guy is like, that's not entirely accurate.
That's a great scene.
It's an awesome scene on the airplane. That is apparently real. Like, the intelligence community has known.
That is literally what I just said.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And they withheld that information. Now, again, this guy could be full of shit. That'd be very funny if he was full of shit. But he doesn't seem like he would be, right?
Yeah. He looks well decorated. There's no reason for him to do this unless he wanted to literally sully his whole career.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going out on a limb to like look like a bad guy.
This is good news. This is good news. If we've known about the aliens for decades, for like 30 or 40 years, and we haven't started a war with them yet, that to me seems like we haven't done anything to fuck up the relationship yet. That to me seems like we're on the right track with the aliens.
Yeah.
They're not mad at us for anything. They don't think that we've kidnapped anybody.
The nukes might have pissed them off.
Once we started fucking around with atomic bombs.
Oh, shit. Please don't do that.
Yeah. Viral marketing for Oppenheimer, maybe?
I already got my tickets.
I'm
when does it come out? This Friday?
No.
It's like July 21st. July.
Oh, okay.
Same day as Barbie.
Mm. Oh, wow. That crowd is, going to split.
They're
same crowd, actually.
They're shipping the movie.
Venn diagrams, two circles.
Yeah.
They're shipping the movie in giant film canisters because Christopher Nolan wants it to be broadcast or displayed in film, not digitally.
Oh.
So it's like, I forget how many, like a couple thousand pounds worth of film.
The IMAX is 11 miles long.
Whoa.
That's awesome.
I cannot wait for that.
Yep. I'm very excited. How do you think it ends?
With an explosion.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to be pissed off, though, if I watch like a 2.5 hour movie and there's only one explosion in it.
We'll have some test runs.
Yeah, there's going to be test runs. Maybe it ends with the Hiroshima bombing.
Mm-hmm.
I just know this scene is definitely going to get recreated.
I'm excited because it'll be the first Christopher Nolan movie that isn't extremely confusing. At least I hope so. It seems like a pretty straightforward
What other story. Movies has he done?
Dunkirk.
Tenet was the one that was just
too, I haven't seen that, but
I couldn't. I mean, like, Inception was confusing, but I could kind of wrap my head around it.
Okay.
Tenet was just insanely, like, I never wrapped my head around Tenet.
Yeah, Tenet seemed like it was Christopher Nolan getting high on his own supply.
Yes.
It was a studio being like, we'll give you a massive budget and you do whatever. I want pure uncut Nolan in this one. And he needs somebody over his shoulder to just be like the average moviegoer and say, hey, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to follow.
Inception is the only one of this guy's movies I've seen.
You haven't seen Interstellar?
No.
Batman?
No.
Haven't seen any Batman?
You haven't seen The Dark Knight?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Y'all know me.
Okay, okay.
Y'all know I'm not watching Batman.
The Dark Knight's like one of the biggest movies of all time.
I'll never see it.
I actually am surprised by that because The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, I don't think of them as superhero movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just good action movies.
It's not my thing.
I see them as like biblical allegories.
They're not.
They're pretty.
Billy might be.
Yeah, no, there's just like so
lightweight
much.
Lightweight correct about this.
Yeah, heavyweight. No, there's like so many mixed in themes and like references to both classical myths, but also biblical stories. It's actually really cool how they're intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
You're describing any story. There are themes and allusions.
Right, right. But it's not just, Fast and the Furious 9 where it's just cars and stuff exploding and act like there's actual, like you can reference several different classical texts.
Back to the aliens thing. This guy that is reporting it, he says that like defense contractors are aware of it. How many people have actually known about this, do you think? If you have to imagine if it's a defense contractor that's involved, there's probably a team of, I don't know, anywhere between just out of my ass, like 5 to 100 people at that company that are aware of it. There are people that work in the intelligence industries, which are aware of it. There's probably like a few thousand people that have kept this secret.
Well, I think if anything, they're given, they're highly strident, separated on what they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be 1,000 people who know tiny pieces, but not the whole picture. So they can't piece together what they're actually looking at. Like, so for example, a place like Boeing or Northrop Grumman, like these aerospace engineering companies that are defense contractors, probably get little pieces of technology that they're asked to replicate amongst one top guy. Yeah. And then he distributes to engineers like, hey, can you look at the molecular makeup of this type of exterior metal? And then they're looking at it and trying to reverse engineer it, but like they're never really given the whole picture, and there's NDAs involved, and that's probably how they're able to keep it secret.
Now I'm actually very woke, because we started this out kind of joking around about the Taylor Swift thing.
I know.
Is Taylor Swift, is she a CIA asset?
No, what the fuck?
Some are saying.
No, Billy, listen to me. We've been told our entire lives that the day that they release the fact that we know that there's aliens that live amongst us, or we found a UFO that is definitely not from Earth, people have been saying there's going to be riots in the streets. There's going to be buildings on fire. It's going to be utter chaos on planet Earth. What better way to distract America from finding out about aliens than having just Taylor Swift announce that she got dumped?
Mm-hmm.
Did she get dumped, or she dumped him?
No, she definitely dumped him.
I think he probably dumped her.
Also, she swallowed a fly in the middle of her set.
She did. Yeah. First fly swallowed on the door.
Can I ask something? I think
lucky fly.
Is the Eras Tour falling off? Because I didn't even know there were shows this weekend. I didn't see one thing about it until today.
I've seen,
if you're on TikTok, like TikTok knows that that's what you want. I didn't hear a thing about it. And every other show was like, oh, this Taylor announced, speak now, Taylor's version from the vault, Taylor's extra version. But like now.
Well, that was just the show you were at.
But there was something like that every weekend.
No, I think.
She did Maroon.
Yeah, she did do Maroon.
And this weekend it was nothing.
She brought out Maren Morris this weekend.
I didn't hear about that.
Well.
But seriously, the very fact, it's working right now. Taylor Swift.
Right, we're talking about Taylor Swift right now.
The CIA operative. Mm-hmm. What better way to cover up this massive news than to have just a big celebrity breakup happen? They've been holding on to this one for a while.
You know she has, like, she definitely has a connect to the government.
This is the break glass in case of emergency file that the government has.
Well,
Maddie Healy on the Adam Freeland show is the reason that we are not talking about
aliens. Yeah, Nick Mullins is absolutely working for the NSA. That's what I'm getting at.
There is some links between the WWE and the CIA. Like John Cena may have been a psyop to get people to enlist in the United States military.
Don't joke about John Cena.
This stuff happens, man. This stuff if you go back and look at who our spies were throughout the years, we've had big celebrities that were also serving as agents.
John Cena's a Chinese asset, U.S.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was a U.S. asset. He's probably been compromised.
Well, also, you know how sometimes celebrities date for like PR and they're not actually dating? Maybe backtrack. The government contacted Taylor like 3 months ago and was like, we need you. They knew about this, obviously. And they were like, we will pay you $10 million or whatever it is.
Do you think money can sway her? She has a lot of money already.
Yeah, but
right now she's got way more.
Maybe they're threatening her.
I don't know.
Family. Or maybe they've compromising
information. But they were like, date this British guy for like 3 weeks. And then you break up on the day we release this news.
I love the idea of Grandpa Joe, of Joe Biden, like sitting in the Oval Office with his earbuds in. And he's listened to Cumtown, and he hears Matty Healy's voice, and he says, "I've got the exact perfect plan for when this whistleblower comes out."
Can we take this seriously?
I'm Billy. I am being serious. I am being serious. Like, it's working right now.
What situation?
I don't know. I just really want
Taylor
to play
Swift
that clip.
Breaking up with Matty Healy.
Yeah, yeah. That Oppenheimer. He was a dude with a lot of regrets.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Like, imagine creating something so destructive. And then realizing that you created the ability to destroy not only this planet, but maybe even the universe and tear a hole.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about giving you a microphone for the first time.
I know.
it is weird timing. It's weird. That's all I'm going to say. It's weird timing.
No, I. If anything, this in itself could be a distraction.
No, we're covering this news right now. I read four paragraphs of this article. This is happening.
In other news, an F-16 broke the sound barrier over Washington, D.C.
It did. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Good point. It did.
Kind of sad, though.
Yeah, sad there was a plane accident. Sounds like it was a slow depressurization of the cabin.
Why don't they have some sort of detection, almost like an oxygen gauge that's like, the oxygen's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Beep, 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 beep.
It's a good question. Maybe they do have something like that, and they tried to descend, and you just pass out. Because when you hit epoxy, when you start losing oxygen,
yeah,
the first thing that goes is your decision-making.
Yeah.
So it's pretty likely that in the event of a depressurization, you just like kind of feel drunk and you don't know what to do and you get completely disoriented and you forget the fact that you're supposed to descend and then everybody just passes out.
That sucks. The plane was about to land in Teterboro, I'm pretty sure.
I'm not sure where the plane was supposed to land, but it flew directly over D.C.
It was going south, not north.
No, it was going north and then it turned around and went south.
No, I'm watching the thing of it.
No, they're flying from Tennessee. They were going to somewhere in the north and then the plane just stopped responding and just started heading right back south to where it came.
So it was going over restricted airspace. You're not allowed to fly a plane over DC. They have like very clear
good reason.
Flight patterns. So when you're landing at Reagan, you just have to come in this one specific way to miss the city, the airspace of the city. And so they scrambled F-16s, which then pursued this plane, identified that the pilot was not responsive, and then it crashed into the mountains.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
How many people were on it?
I think four passengers, two pilots.
Wow.
So six souls.
This just says four people on board.
Four souls.
Yeah.
So they scrambled F-16s, which then pursued the plane and broke the sound barrier in their pursuit of it, which is completely different from the scenario that we talked about last week, which was a Fleet Week demonstration.
Yeah.
And it is true that you're not allowed to break the sound barrier over any occupied parts of land because it will, like, it can break windows. It can fuck everything up when you hear that sonic boom come through. Mm-hmm. But obviously, if they're being scrambled to try to intercept or shoot down an airplane, they don't give a shit about that rule. They're going to break the sound barrier and get there as fast as they can.
Yeah. I think it's also weird. You know how a week ago, someone in South Korea just opened the door of the flight while it was up there? Like, you should not be able to just open that door.
Like, no, you should.
When it's in. Well, because there's no reason why you would have to open that door when it's like flying. Obviously, if it crashes or lands, you need to be able to open it. But what reason would you have to open it when it's mid-flight?
Let's say there's one hole in the other side of the plane. And I think I may be wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think if you open the other door, it helps the pressure stabilize faster.
It's like a window in a car where somebody cracks one window and then your ears start getting fucked up.
Also, as a veteran of the exit row, they ask me if I'm ready, willing, and able to help before the flight. I say yes.
Yep.
And I really enjoy it because I need some extra legroom. I like having the power to be able to open the door in the middle.
I get kind of scared because I'm like, damn, like, I could open this so easily. And I always assumed that if you open it mid-flight, like, people would get sucked out. It looked like no one got sucked out.
I think she was strapped in, but if she wasn't, she would have gotten sucked out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also like the freedom that if, something has happened, I can just get the fuck out of the plane.
Where would you go?
Into the air.
And die?
Well, like, I have this weird idea that if the plane's about to crash and it's like 10 feet away from the ground, I can jump up out of the airplane and then just fall 10 feet instead of
you'd be moving too fast forward. So then when you works. Like hit I know the water,
makes,
you would just get
no, it makes
ripped
no
apart.
Sense. It makes zero sense. Doesn't like
what
physics
about,
make
what about
sense?
The giant fireball that you would then just land directly into.
No, I'd like probably like 20 feet. I'd jump out and then I'd be fine because like I'd jump up so that I'd be like,
okay, no, but you're still going the speed of
I know,
the plane.
I know it. But like in my mind, in that moment, if I believe that, I die thinking I have hope. Mm.
Yeah,
see? That's fair.
Yep.
Richard Branson was on a hot air balloon that was crashing, and he just jumped off it when it was like 20 feet from the ocean, and survived.
See?
It was fine. Yeah.
See?
A hot air balloon is not way different.
I know it makes total no sense, but I like that option. It was something I told myself when I didn't understand physics.
Yeah, I don't know if Billy's right or wrong about the opening two doors on the airplane to even out the pressure. I do know that if you open up, if there's a small hole that gets blown into an airplane, or if it there's like a door that opens, it can suck a lot of people out. That can happen if you're not buckled up, which is why I always buckle up on an airplane. Mm-hmm. Got to make sure that you're strapped. Keep that motherfucking thing on me.
Also, you just always buckle up so the flight attendant doesn't wake you up.
Yeah.
Shout out OBJ.
Yeah, the flight attendants are always they've got the like gentle pat on the shoulder. They probably train on how to do that, like the gentlest way to wake up somebody.
Train conductors also. I feel bad for them because people purposely pretend they're asleep to not get their ticket checked.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I've had train conductors like wake me up. Like, be like, hey, ticket.
There was one train. Well, one time I fell asleep on the train and got to Grand Central and just didn't wake up. And the conductor just stood like next to me and yelled, last stop. And I just like woke up thinking I was like in the middle of a bad dream.
I'm very excited about these alien aircraft.
I am too. Yeah. But realistically, the government's used them to reverse engineer and make new super weapons, or hopefully a nuclear defense system that's just A1 to protect the United States. That would make me happy.
We need a photo. I mean, hopefully photos leak in the next like year.
Yeah. What do you think they look like?
I mean, Bob Lazar, when he like explained the crafts that he saw, his description made a lot of sense and was the same as what like a lot of pilots have seen. Like that sort of tic-tac thing, which uses anti-gravity to propel itself. So it kind of like makes its own artificial gravity field that then pulls the ship forward.
You know how they say that like gravity is like the gravity of Earth is like putting a bowling ball on a mattress?
Mm-hmm.
So like that machine would be able to manipulate that field of sorts.
And yeah, so then it's kind of like you're just like falling.
So you're just falling fast. Have you ever heard the descriptions of Old Testament angels? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Apparently they're similar to the alien craft in Nope.
Yeah, Old Testament angels construct like appearance. It's really... really like they look wild.
Yeah, it's not just some it's dude like in a white robe with wings.
They look like imagine a bunch of rings around each other.
Yeah.
In some descriptions of UFOs match that, which is pretty insane. So hypothetically, Old Testament angels.
Mm-hmm.
First depictions of UAPs
could be. Listen, I'm up for anything right now. This sounds like this should actually be earth-shattering news if it's true.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of apologies that people need to make.
Yeah.
To all the crazies out there.
Uh huh.
I just like to say I never doubted you.
There's a bunch of dudes in RVs in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. Again, describing Independence Day. Yeah.
That need to be brought back to society.
Yep.
Yeah, the David Grohl, right? Isn't he huge into UAPs?
Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters?
Not him. The guy from Blink-182.
Oh, yeah, Tom DeLonge.
Tom DeLonge is huge. And a lot of what he said like has come true.
Yeah, he basically quit punk rock to get the United States government to declassify evidence that they have of aliens existing.
Yeah, and he did. Yeah, he did.
Like his To the Stars company or whatever... they were actually instrumental in that. So really, thank you, Tom DeLonge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people gave it all to find the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out them.
Yep. Good job, Tom. Also, new Apple event was today. Did you guys see the big product that they announced?
The Vision Pro?
Yeah, the Apple Vision Pro. It's their entry into virtual reality.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
They'll actually do it right. And then there goes reality.
Yeah, that's a good point, Billy. It's like any other company can start doing anything. And then once Apple does it, it becomes part of life.
Yeah.
And so their virtual reality headset, it has an external eye display too. So if you walk into a room when somebody's got this thing on your face, your eyes are projected on the outside of the VR device. So I can see your eyes, even though they're not actually your eyes. It's just like a projection of them.
Realize, realize, realize.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm probably going to get one at some point.
Yeah.
You're just going to end up playing. It might make you stop playing golf because virtual reality is so cool.
I could go hang out on a golf course in real life. I'll bet you flight simulators on this are going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Probably have to do that once or twice.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Mm-mm-mm. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The big question is, it's only going to get super popular if you can do porn on it.
Oh, I mean, of course.
Porn has led to every single major technological innovation of the last 70 years.
There goes the birth rate.
$3,500. Not cheap.
Oh, really? Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, a couple more years we got. Barriers to entry is pretty high.
So, couldn't this entire thing just be taken over by, was it Neuralink?
Yeah.
Like if Elon wants to put one of these like inside your brain, basically, right?
Yeah. Feeding through your ocular nerve.
And Elon just got permission to test it on a human.
Yeah. So that leads me to my next question, which is, would you allow Elon Musk to implant Neuralink into your brain to test it for science?
If I had a neurodegenerative disease.
Okay.
So if my brain is all good, no, if it's all working fine. But if it was like early onset Alzheimer's, CTE, dementia, or something where it's like I'm losing my brain, absolutely plug me in.
That's a reasonable position, I guess.
Yeah.
I was going to say like hard, firm no.
No.
But if you know that it's a degenerative condition that's just going to get worse and worse and worse.
And if it could possibly fix it or be a help me talk to my grandchildren.
Or help somebody else in the future based on what they learned from your brain.
Yeah.
Didn't he have a bunch of monkeys that died because they put Neuralink inside his brain?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But
then they worked out the kinks.
A lot of monkeys have died for a lot of good human advances, and I think this is one of the ones that are worth it.
Wasn't there an abnormally large amount of monkeys that died?
Well, no, dude, monkeys, if you really want to see like monkeys dying, like there's all sorts of stuff that killed monkeys.
I don't want to see monkeys die.
Like,
sounds like a good blog,
like,
though.
Monkeys die for, you know, like makeup and like hair products because they have allergic reactions. Like, not the best use of monkey lives, but monkeys being, you know, helping us become cyborgs and, you know, the next step of human evolution to compete against AI.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fine with that.
You know, it'd be sick watching an NFL game in virtual reality.
Yeah. Wait, they could put you in the refs.
Or they'll put like a camera on Patrick Mahomes' like forehead on the front of his helmet. And you could just like, you could play a game as Patrick Mahomes.
People with low football. Yeah, they put it on all the helmets. You can choose how you want to watch the game. Do you want to watch the game as a QB? Do you want to watch it like as a defensive end? You can kind of choose which position's perspective you watch a football game from.
Third-person perspective is probably best for people with low football IQ because they're not going to be able to digest what's happening in front of them.
I was going
to
say, I think you'd learn very quickly that's a shitty way to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, like from the QB eyes, it'd be cool because then you'd be like, oh shit, that guy was open. Why'd you pass to him?
It would suck to watch it from like Kyler Murray's perspective because you're just blocked by everybody. You can't see anything. All you just see is linemen's asses everywhere.
Yes, yeah.
You're thrown to like Drew Brees back in the day, you're thrown to a spot where you think they're open.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler would be awesome to watch from his vision. Get the bird's eye.
But because you have the bird's eye, you're lazy in figuring out your progressions and what actually is going to open up because you're just a see open, throw open guy.
Yeah. Being a defensive tackle, that would be a shitty perspective to watch the game from.
You're just looking right at the numbers.
Actually, the best VR would be the kicker. You're just on the sideline, front row. Don't really do that much.
Yeah. Honestly, I still think the angle that we currently have is the best because you see the game develop. Like you'll see people open that the quarterback doesn't see open. You'll see a rushing, you know, linebacker before the quarterback sees it. Like,
yeah,
it is restrictive to have one player's perspective.
Replays using the virtual reality camera angle would be cool.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. A replay would be great, but not like live action.
Yeah.
What sport do you think would be the best?
Basketball?
Fighting. Like UFC boxing.
Yeah.
If you could switch.
Yeah,
you like just, seeing like when you know fighters are either going for the killer punch or like the hammer fist at the end, like that death vision, like that killer vision would be pretty awesome.
Golf would be fun.
Golf, I guess, would be fun, but I don't know. I think I'd rather just watch from like 10 feet behind the player.
What I've realized about golf is that golf's only fun watching if you play golf. And since so many people play golf, they like to watch golf.
What I've learned is that when you watch golf on TV, actually, you know what? Billy might be right. That might be a sport that's like tough to appreciate. But the thing about golf on TV is that the cameramen should be getting paid way, way more. Golf cameramen are fucking incredible at their jobs. Somebody hits a shot going like 200 miles an hour and they put the camera up in there and find this tiny little white ball. I can't even follow my own golf ball when I play golf in real life. They're zooming in on the ball, tracking it all the way to the green. Those guys are the most talented cameramen in the business.
I think there's a little tech involved in that. I think they have a wide shot and then they have a program that they have a big wide shot and the ball is somewhere in there and then the program zooms in on the ball and follows it.
Yeah, but it's probably not easy.
It's probably, yeah, it's not easy, but like it would kind of be like, wider goalposts.
Maybe.
We went viral for a controversial opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was that? Whose opinion was it?
So
Billy's.
Yeah. Hayden.
So, we is doing a lot of work here.
No, you were there too.
You were there too. Okay. So the tweet that went viral was Barstool coming out as anti-car dependency was not on my bingo card, and it was our conversation about how walkable cities have better vibes.
Yeah, I don't.
That's not a controversial opinion though. Went viral just because a lot of people agreed, but they were like,
"Yeah,
why is Barstool talking about?"
Right? They were like, "I can't believe I'm agreeing with Barstool on something."
Yeah,
yeah. If there's anything Barstool's been known for in the past, it's how much we love cars
and rolling coal.
Yeah, we hate convenience.
A lot of the replies were like, people don't understand that frat boys love walkable cities because they can just walk from bar to bar. And I was like, what are you talking about? It could have not, that clip couldn't have painted Billy in a better light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that clip was Billy PR, like to AT.
I'm going to run for office of something one day. Yeah,
I love seeing that clip.
I've been pro urban planning. Yes, and
we are pro. We're very pro urban planning.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, you can't deny the convenience of living in a place where all your shit is right around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great.
Boston, very walkable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I started following that guy like 2 months ago.
The transit guy.
Yeah. It was very random to see you guys on it.
What does he talk about?
Walkable cities are goated. It's just a shame that the South doesn't have too many of them.
Well,
the South love their cars.
We burned all the ones that were walkable. That's kind of on us.
Yeah, but they could have rebuilt them to be walkable, but they... prioritize the cars.
Those were burned before cars existed. Everywhere was walkable.
That's a great point, Big T.
During the rebuilding.
It wasn't exactly like there were drivable cities and not.
No, chalk that one up for Big T.
The walkable cities.
Yeah.
You know, during Reconstruction and everything was during the time where cars started to become more popular.
Reconstruction was... When do you think people started getting cars in the United States, Billy?
I'd say then... 1920s?
Yeah, so...
Maybe the 10s.
But the Civil War ended in, what, 1865?
Right. So, but think about how long there was without much construction. Let's not pretend that there was, you know, major development in the rest of the 1800s of the South.
You can look up Reconstruction.
And Reconstruction wasn't like a Marshall Plan... Like it wasn't. It was a.
They consider the Reconstruction era to last from 1865 to 1877. So
right,
not a lot of cars being built then. I'm seeing right, one that, I'm, that bumps
I'm,
out.
All
to
I'm saying is that a lot of the construction of southern cities have been in the 19th century and post
20th century
20th century. Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
But also the West. But yeah, so the West was developed later on. So they don't.
LA. Yeah. Fucking terrible.
Yeah, what's the most walkable city on the West Coast?
Probably.
What about Seattle?
You can get
San
around
San Francisco, maybe.
Yeah,
although I mean, you dodge all the human lot of hills. Shit.
Yeah,
You got to get that app. There's an app that tells you where the human shit is. It's like Waze.
Oh God, that's just a good app to have just in real life, like every day.
Seattle, was that a port city? Did Seattle get a lot of play like in the 1800s? No, port cities are some of the best walkable cities.
No, I know. It's just the way you said that was
like
funny.
Newport, Rhode Island, amazing walking city. Boston, Philadelphia,
New York,
some areas, New York, of course. Mm-hmm. What else? Where's some Hoboken? Sick walking.
Savannah is a pretty good walkable city.
Oh, really?
Is New Orleans walkable?
New Orleans is very walkable. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I feel like no one should drive there. I feel like no one's just sober enough to drive.
That was just put in just for just to save lives.
Right.
Medellin, Colombia. Very, very walkable.
Nice.
Great public transit. They have cable cars that like take you to neighborhoods up in the hills around the city. And before the cable cars, it would take you like 2 hours to drive from those villages to downtown. Now with the cable cars, it's like 20 minutes.
I love a good cable car.
By the way.
Yeah.
New York is not a cyclable city. I know everyone wants to act city bikes and all this, but it is not built like.
Well, yeah, I mean, they put in bike lanes, what, like 10 years ago?
It's not. Everyone thinks that, you know, the biking in New York City is like just as good as some of these European cities that have like serious biking infrastructure.
Are you arguing against like one of these people that doesn't exist anymore? Like, I don't know anybody who says like New York is fantastic for biking.
Everyone like thinks that they, you know, city bikes are like safe, but like biking the city is super dangerous.
I bike on a city bike a lot.
Can I get a DUI for drugs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
We also figured out that Dukes can get a DUI on his little scooter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On a Rascal?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, on his like broken ankle scooter.
I've been biking a lot for the last like 3 years in the city. When the pandemic started, I started using city bikes to get around because there were no cars on the road, so it was super easy. I don't use them nearly as much anymore. I still do probably 2 or 3 times a week. I'll get on one.
That's a lot.
It's not hard, but it's definitely not safe. Like, you have to be very, very
cognizant
of everything that's going on. Plus, the worst thing is you got these delivery drivers that they're on their bikes. Electric. But they're not bikes.
And those are faster than the cars.
They've got batteries, and so they're basically motorcycles that ride in the bike lane. Mm-hmm. And so you always have to be looking over your shoulder in case one of those guys is coming up behind you, because they'll take you out.
They'll go the wrong way.
Yeah, they go the wrong way.
In the bike lanes.
Yep. Ooh. And then you also have to be careful that you don't run into somebody that's walking out one of those new construction dining indoor enclosures that they built on the other side of the bike. I'm constantly afraid that I'm going to smoke somebody just going through a bike lane because they don't look which way.
Walking through the city, you have to have your head on the swivel. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know, because you can get clocked. I almost got clocked the other day by a delivery driver who's driving on the sidewalk in one of those electric things.
I
let him have it, dude, because there was a bike lane right there. I also was one of those things where I got really like adrenaline rush because I almost got hit, and then like I turned my fear into aggression and was totally irrationally angry. But, you know.
Imagine how dangerous it must have been to ride a bike in the city before the bike lanes were put in.
Yeah.
Must have been crazy.
West Side Highway, you know, all that stuff. Go ahead. Like, go on your bike ride.
On the trail.
Yeah.
On the bike trail there. Yeah. Not on the West Side Highway.
Like, yes. Yeah. That's what I mean.
That would be that bad. Walkway. It's like relatively, you can bike it. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
But just be safe. Big T, what are you teed off about?
I think this has a chance to be the most controversial teed off we've ever had.
Oh, Let's go. Oh, fuck.
Even more controversial than the time that you said that French toast has been gentrified?
Yeah, no, everyone agreed with that.
Good, I'm glad.
No, that's just facts. I was eating some ice cream yesterday. And I came to the realization, ice cream is pretty mid at best.
Oh, get the fuck out.
It's not what it's cracked up to be. It really isn't.
What kind of ice cream were you eating?
Yeah, what were you eating?
I was eating ice cream. Baskin Robbins, the cake.
Birthday cake?
Yeah, but it was like, yeah.
So you're of the opinion that ice cream is mid.
Did you used to eat ice cream and like it?
I still, like, it's fine. It's, but it's not a top tier dessert.
But you were eating ice cream, birthday cake ice cream on a day that was not your birthday?
Yeah.
I'm in on that.
Baskin Robbins is kind of like a mid chain.
Yeah, it brought me to the realization that most ice cream is mid.
Big T, did you ever enjoy ice cream in your life? Like you?
Yes, dude. You just asked that.
So do you think that, you know, maybe you're losing enjoyment in things that you once loved?
No, I think you're trying to be you right now. It's not incredible.
Ice cream is so incredible. Ice cream is so good. Dude. When was the last time you had ice cream besides this? How long of a break did you take from ice cream?
Let me say, ice cream incorporated into other, like an ice cream sandwich, outstanding.
Ice cream cake?
Depends what you mean by that, because I've found that people here take ice cream cake to mean it's entirely ice cream. There's no cake in it, and that's horrible.
There should be a layer of cake.
Yeah, no, I hear
like
there's,
from Dairy Queen.
Have those here.
Okay, yeah, no. If it's all ice cream, that's trash. Because
I like that stuff.
I have someone very close to me who loves ice cream cake in quotation marks. There's no cake in it. It's just ice cream, and it's bad. But ice cream sandwich is great. Real ice cream cake. That's cake. Ice cream cake. Ice cream.
Yeah.
Good. But ice cream by itself, it does. It's not a star player.
What about ice cream on top of an apple pie? Maybe an a la mode.
Yeah. So I was discussing this with my buddy as I was crafting this take last night. Apple pie also not it.
Okay, but I do.
You're kind of going anti-America.
Ice cream
pie in general
takes a pie and cranks it up like five notches.
Yes, pie with ice cream is better than pie alone. Ice cream can be a great Kyrie. It can't be your LeBron. Okay, ice cream is calling LeBron, being like, hey, you want to come to Dallas?
What about a milkshake?
Milkshake's
better than ice cream regular.
What about soft serve or hard serve? What is more mid?
Hard packed is more mid.
Jesus Christ.
What about like the Mr. Softee's ice cream trucks on the street? You like those?
That's soft serve.
I know, but I'm saying do you enjoy those?
Again, it's fine. It's
that's like one of my favorite things about living here is those ice cream trucks.
It's fine.
Here's what you need to do, Big T. You got to make a switch over to frozen yogurt. Mm-hmm. Eat frozen yogurt for about 6 months and then go back to ice cream. And you're going to be like, holy shit, ice cream is awesome.
That's actually a good way to do it.
I'm going to get ice cream after this. Anybody wants to join?
It's just, it needs something else. It's a Kyrie, which is a great, great ball player.
But again, what flavor was it again?
Birthday cake.
It sounds like you might have just had ice cream that you didn't care for.
I've been thinking about this for a while now, and this was just the one that sent me over the edge.
Like, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
I guess chocolate.
Oh, well, that's a boring flavor.
I think we should. Okay. I think we need to get Big T some ice cream, and I want to watch his reaction to eating it.
So
we need to get him like Cafe Pana
or Haagen-Dazs. Mm-hmm. Haagen-Dazs. There was a
overrated.
Sorry. Okay. There was a time in my life I ate a pint of ice cream every night to put on weight. And even then, I did not get sick of ice cream. And I relapsed on that habit on Saturday night. Can confirm it's over 1,000 calories. And I could not see myself ever falling out of love with ice cream.
Like, what would y'all rate ice cream 1 to 10?
Just ice cream in general.
Yes.
The concept? A 9?
Depends on the flavor.
I give ice cream an 8.
See, that's lower than I would have expected. Like,
and
somebody
is
said
really
10.
Good.
Are you lactose intolerant? Did you like?
No.
Did you stop drinking milk and suddenly become intolerant? That happens to a lot of people.
Billy,
that
happened to me. Stop asking stupid questions.
I'm seriously trying to get to the bottom of why you're feeling this way. Because if that happened
I told
to me,
you
I'd be,
why.
I'd be very upset. I'd probably go see counseling thinking I had depression because I wasn't enjoying things I once enjoyed.
No, dude,
before.
You're trying to be funny, but you're not.
Isn't that the point of the show?
I would say that ice cream is a solid 8. I give pie a 9.
Oh, okay.
That's crazy.
I love pie. I take pie over ice cream, but barely.
I think
now I would take ice cream over almost anything else that isn't pie.
What about cake? Where are you at on cake?
Cake's a seven. Cake.
Oh, see, you have pie and cake flipped. Cake.
No, I don't.
Pie is cake for homeless people.
You have pie and cake flipped.
Cake has lost its way.
Yeah, pie is elite.
Yeah, I'm getting married. I don't think I'm going to have cake at the wedding, or at least
you don't know that yet.
I don't want to have a cake at the wedding, but I don't know. Like, do you have to have a wedding cake?
You don't have to do anything.
Okay. In fact, most weddings I go to, I miss the cake. Because people are partying. You've got a certain element of the wedding contingent that like has their watches set ready for cake. And they're usually the ones that aren't on the dance floor. They're the ones that probably aren't hitting the bar as hard. Mm-hmm. So they're just sitting there watching the dance floor. And then after all the formal parts of the wedding are over, they got one last thing to stick around for before it's time for them to leave, and that's the cake. The cake is when all the olds, they leave after that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you don't have to have a cake. Here's the thing about weddings, Donnie. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. It's your wedding.
All right.
Do whatever you want.
Cake, baby.
All right.
Let's go. But, I mean, I should have some sort of dessert. Mm-hmm. Maybe ice cream.
Yeah.
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 Oh, but you know what? The thing is, Europeans do ice cream different. They do it different. Gelato. It's weird. No, but like even... Like one time I got ice cream thinking it was like milk ice cream and it was fucking like shortening. I don't even know. They just don't do ice cream right. You can't taste the milk. I prefer ice cream that you can really taste the milk, lactose.
Yeah.
Like I don't want it like a sweet. It's like some places do ice cream way too sweet where you can't taste like the milk.
I was in Brooklyn the other day and I ordered some ice cream. I was like, this tastes a little weird. Turned out to be vegan ice cream.
That'll happen occasionally. And I'm gonna kind of defend Big T's take a little bit here. I do have a problem with some ice creams. I feel like ice cream has become gentrified recently, where there are a lot of ice cream shops that are, you know, elevated ice cream. You don't need to elevate ice cream. Ice cream is fantastic. You don't need to have olive oil and weird like spices and rosemary and shit in an ice cream. Give me peanut butter chocolate chip ice cream. Give me mint chocolate chip ice cream. Give me vanilla ice cream. Plain vanilla is such a treat.
No, you know what I've noticed? A lot of places that aren't doing the blocking and tackling with a very good vanilla, that's just like, you know, good milk, good, like if you're OG, like the foundation of all the rest of the ice cream isn't good, they're going to throw tons of toppings and shit that just doesn't play because they know they're making up for bad ice cream.
It's very funny to imagine Big T sitting on his couch just going, you know, fistfuls of ice cream into his mouth, but he's sad while he's eating it.
I wasn't sad. It was just, it's a 6'2".
6'2"?
That's ridiculous. That's just stupid. That's ridiculous.
So what other desserts would you put above ice cream?
Cake, unquestionably.
Yeah.
Cookies, clear, far and away.
I take ice cream over cookies.
Ice cream.
No, that's crazy. A great cookie pisses on great ice cream.
Well, you know what makes a great cookie?
There's a lot of bad cookies out there.
Ice cream.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Ice cream needs an accompaniment.
No, ice cream can be a meal.
A spoon.
No.
Some three cheese.
That'd
be good.
It's a Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade's a Hall of Famer.
Never won on his own.
Yes, he did.
Well, with Shaq.
Yeah, with one of the five greatest players ever.
But he was the best player on that team. That's a bad comparison.
He needed Shaq to do it.
Everybody needs somebody on their team. When was the last time somebody had nobody and won a championship?
Jokic?
No.
Jokic? Jamal Murray?
Yeah.
Michael Porter?
They're all fine. None of them are better than him.
You're right. Yes, every team has the best player on their team, for sure. I'm saying that Shaq was not better than Dwayne Wade when they won the championship.
He's a better player overall than Dwayne Wade.
Like historically.
And I was trying to be nice to ice cream and give it somebody that's good.
Yeah.
But needs somebody else to do it.
So you're saying Chris Bosh?
That might be a good comparison.
This is ridiculous.
Ice cream is Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh, outstanding ball player.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Very smart.
I would say that ice cream is Kawhi.
No, more relevant Kawhi than Kawhi.
Boring. Overrated.
Wins. Board man.
I could maybe get on board with Kawhi.
Gets paid. Still wins a chip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just it's not what it's cracked up to be. And I don't like that. That brings me no joy.
I
have to live my truth.
I think it brings you a little bit of joy.
No, it doesn't.
To just piss on ice cream.
No, it doesn't. I want ice. I paid for that ice cream being like, I hope this is good.
You might have just had a bad ice cream.
No, because this has been brewing. This is a year in the making.
God, that's awesome.
Did you? So you did love it as a kid. It was a treat.
Ice that's, cream is, it's ice cream, of course. Like, y'all are making this a meta, like.
No. I think let's explore this a little bit. Do we love ice cream more because we associate it so closely?
I think absolutely.
With being a kid, like, it's like pizza, you know? If you're a kid, the best thing that your parents can do for you is, guess what? We're getting ice cream tonight. Guess what? Ordering pizza tonight.
Well, pizza is elite.
Pizza is elite, but I also think ice cream is elite, too. Mm-hmm. I still retain that love for ice cream. But
I do
maybe
think
there's a small
there's
part
some
of me
that, yes.
that thinks that I love ice cream more than I actually do because I associate it with being a special occasion or a reward for something.
I think that could absolutely be true.
For the record, I still love ice cream.
It's good. It's fine.
Big T, do you avoid Ben & Jerry's ice cream just because they're such a liberal company?
I avoid their ice cream because they do what PFT discussed earlier, the, oh, this has pretzels and chips and fucking all this shit in it. But yeah, then they're also communists.
Their ice cream is one of those things.
if a communist made the best cake of all time, Big T would be first in line when that store opened in the morning, right?
Communists aren't making a good cake.
Yeah,
that's true.
They can't source the ingredients.
They're not really known for their food.
Did we discuss?
Birthdays. Yeah,
I don't remember if we discussed this. The anti-capitalist coffee shop that we discussed on this show shut down recently. Unfortunately,
the pay what you want for the coffee.
Yeah, the market decided that there was not a lot of demand for that. And that's a shame.
Didn't the workers like try to take over?
It was one dude. I think he ran it by himself.
No, I think there's like I forget. I'll look it up, but. Ben & Jerry's is one of those places that makes up for their bad blocking and tackling vanilla by adding a bunch of other shit in it.
I think they've got great ice cream, actually, Ben & Jerry's. Fish Fruit is one of my all-time favorites.
Their vanilla,
American Dream.
Their vanilla is subpar.
Chunky Monkey, Cherry Garcia.
There's a reason why they have to put so much stuff in their vanilla ice cream to make it palatable.
But yeah. I think that's just what Ben & Jerry's is. Ben & Jerry's is a funky flavor company.
It is, yeah.
It's because they're high and they're making fun flavors.
I like Haagen-Dazs that just, if they're doing it, it's strict. And it gets down to it.
I think you're being deceived by the German letter.
No.
The umlaut.
It's actually from Brooklyn. It's actually from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Bluebell is great ice cream as well.
Yes.
It's a good American company.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I am very much looking forward to, Bluebell has recently come out with a new flavor, Dr. Pepper Float, that I hear is possibly elite. So this summer when I'm back in the South and I can get Bluebell ice cream, I'm going to try that and I'll report back.
I'm excited about that one too. Dr. Pepper Float sounds like an absolute winner.
Sounds great.
What's I know everyone's from a couple different regions. What's everyone's favorite hometown regional ice cream chain?
I mean, Bluebell in Texas is, everybody loves it.
Mm.
Brewster's. Y'all been to a Brewster's?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Now that is like, I will always go to a Brewster's, but that's like you said earlier, like childhood, like cotton candy explosion ice cream. It's cotton candy ice cream with Pop Rocks in it. It's outstanding.
Ooh.
I will always go to a Brewster's and get cotton candy
explosion. I'm taking mental notes in case I see any of these ice cream places in my travels.
Stewart's,
yeah, that's a big upstate New York chain. That's from McKenzie.
Jenny's ice cream.
Oh, Jenny's is Ohio.
Jenny's is good, but they fuck around sometimes. They
did like the mac and cheese ice cream. Shit,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I like weird flavors. Mac and cheese, no, but for Mitchell, me, the weirder the better.
Mitchell's ice cream in Cleveland is phenomenal. I can bring some back. They ship it. I'll bring some back from 4th of July.
Carvel.
Ooh, Carvel's is good.
Downstate. Oh, but that's what
they're who do the ice cream cakes with no cake in it.
Yes, but that is what made them famous. They've shipped those cakes around the country because they're so good. Do not disrespect the whale.
Hey, Carvel.
So this was
fuck Fudgy the Whale.
No, don't you fuck Fudgy the Whale. Don't you fuck Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale sucks.
I'll fuck Bucky's. I'll bend Bucky's over and fuck Bucky's.
That's fine.
So Big T, it sounds like maybe you're just anti Baskin Robbins.
No, like I said, I've been working on this take, and this last night just sent me over the edge.
All right.
Like if again, put some ice cream between two like great cookies, unbelievable.
Chipwich is great.
Put it in a cake.
We're gonna get you to love ice cream through the Bluebell Dr. Pepper Float.
That I will report back after July 4th. That could get me back on board.
Okay.
Mr. Softies. mm-hmm. Carvel. But then if I'm going hard,
wow,
hard ice cream, Häagen-Dazs.
So I remember in the Super Size Me doc, the founder of Baskin-Robbins, they were interviewing his kid, and the kid was like, ice cream killed my dad. He used to eat like 5 scoops of ice cream a day and then eventually had a heart attack.
I respect that. That's dedication. And his son was like,
I blame that all on ice cream.
So does that kid still run Dunkin' Donut or Dunkin' Baskin? Are they related?
I think they were bought out by the same
company. I think they have like a parent company.
Yeah. Did that kid go into the family business even though he knows that it kills people?
Let's see. I saw it a while ago. I'm looking at the Baskin, the director tells us, died of a heart attack at the age of 51. And the Ben & Jerry's co-founder, we are informed, underwent quintuple bypass heart surgery at 49. The implicit suggestion is that both scooped up too much of their own product though evidence of this is supplied in neither case.
I can respect that, though. They really lived that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was about that life.
It's like the Marlboro man died of lung cancer.
Respect.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. Commitment to the bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like my ice cream founders just getting morbidly obese. There's a great restaurant in Austin called Enchiladas y Mas, and all their cooks wear a shirt that says "Never trust a skinny cook," and they're all big boys.
Absolutely,
and it's great Tex-Mex.
Yeah, I feel like if I ever opened up a Rangoon shop, though, I would have to limit myself to only like a few Rangoons a day, because also I don't want to get sick of Rangoons.
I mean, imagine if you went into an ice cream store. And the guy's like, yeah, this is my passion. This is my blood, sweat, and tears. I love ice cream. And he's like an Ironman triathlete. I'd leave. Be like, not my speed.
My parents almost owned one, and that was their biggest fear. My mom. And she eats ice cream every night. Like, even
Your parents almost owned an ice cream shop. Pass the mic over to Don.
It was in like Brewster, New York, they were living, and they had like a lease, and then like a week before they were supposed to like move in and like set everything up, it like fell through or something. Wait, so they never owned it.
Oh, was it the Red Rooster?
No, it never happened because it didn't like work out. But yeah, they had like the whole plan for it and everything, and that was my mom's like biggest concern. She was like, I would just have ate all the inventory of the ice cream, but she still does that. I mean, she literally eats like a pint of Ben and Jerry's every single night, and she's like my size.
I have a relative who eats ice cream every day, and this person reached a certain age that they just said, fuck it, I'm just gonna eat ice cream every day because it's not gonna kill me because I only have so many years left.
Right.
I'm skeptical of naming people on the podcast because of our record.
Okay, fair.
For the record, I love ice cream. I don't want ice cream to hear this and get the wrong
idea. Can we go out for ice cream after this?
Yeah, let's do ice cream.
I like that.
I don't want to order it. We need to go
walk. Where's
there
a good ice cream place around here, though?
We'll find them. We'll like walk, feel the heat. Mm-hmm. That will really make us love the ice cream when we get it.
Do you think it's possible? It's like, what, 70?
It's like 75.
75 today. I'm going to order some ice cream.
No, don't order. We got to walk to
get
it.
No, I'm going to order some, and I'm going to see if it arrives here as ice cream.
Oh.
It's like beat the clock.
I love beat the clock.
No, we gotta go to the source.
There's not a lot of sources because, around here.
Like,
no, there. We actually have a Häagen-Dazs and a Baskin Robbins not too far.
But I don't want to go to a Baskin Robbins because Big T has slandered that. I want to go to a place Häagen-Dazs. That Big T's gonna be impressed by.
Oh well, we also have Big Gay Ice Cream Shop not too far away.
Yeah, Big Gay Ice Cream Shop's good.
The line's gonna be too long.
Happy Pride.
It's June.
The Big Gay Ice Cream Shop is so funny. There's the pictures that they have on their website of the different brands and the different types of ice cream.
Yeah.
There's one guy on there who looks exactly like my great friend Will from Hard Factor.
Oh, yeah.
It is a carbon copy of this guy. I saw it. I think, what's it called? It's called the, it's one of their cones. I forget, but the picture on there, I send that to him like twice a year. I'm going to get some ice cream. I'm going to get it delivered.
From where?
And I'm just taking a shot.
Okay.
Does that mean we're not going to walk out?
We're not going to walk out to get ice cream, Billy. I'm ordering ice cream.
But that means, like, you understand that if you walk out.
You're the
out
biggest
the
look a gift horse in the mouth person of all time.
I don't even know what that fucking means, but you feel better if you walk in the heat to get the ice cream. You're robbing yourself of the experience.
Can I explain something to Billy? We're doing a podcast right now. And so if we leave after the podcast to walk somewhere, we're no longer recording this podcast. If I order us ice cream and it arrives.
I was thinking after the podcast. I wasn't going to eat on the job.
I'm thinking content.
Yeah.
I'm thinking content all the time. I'm going to get a couple different ones here. Peanut butter brownie chip.
Oh.
That sounds good. We're going to get some mint chocolate chip, and I'm going to do some honeycomb too.
Oh, I know where you're ordering from.
It's called Van
Leeuwen.
Oh, Van Leeuwen. It's pretty. Oh,
the trashiest, most liberal cuck ice cream. Oh,
more liberal than
all
big gay
time.
Ice cream.
Okay, now that.
Yes, yes. That absolutely, is, for okay, sure. So this is the. They have vegan and gluten free.
So that's.
It's a Brooklyn. Yeah, it is. It is more liberal than big gay ice
that's,
cream.
That's even.
Absolutely.
That's even more looking. Ooh, they, a gift horse
they
in
have,
the mouth.
They have brown sugar cookie chunk.
It's really good. I've had that one. It's just so good.
Could you get a brown sugar cookie chunk? That sounds great.
That one's gas.
Okay, let me add the brown sugar. What is it called?
Brown sugar
cookie chunk. Beggars can't be choosers, but yeah.
Also, if you're not that I want you to order right now, but the Mary and Berry cheesecake is also a very good flavor. But Big T would absolutely spit that in my face if I ordered that.
It's named after a Democrat.
Mary and Berry?
You don't know about Mary and Berry, do you?
No.
I don't think I do either.
Mary and Berry was the mayor of D.C. for a really long time.
Okay.
He was mayor twice, actually. He lost his job the first time because he was caught smoking crack with a prostitute in a hotel room. And they, after the video came out, the press started asking questions for a comment about it. And he goes, "Goddamn bitch set me up." That was his comment about it. And then he went to jail. And then he got out of jail. Then he got reelected to be the mayor of D.C.
All right.
Is he a good – I can't tell how you feel about him.
It's a very funny story.
Yeah.
It's a funny story. I don't really know anything about his policies or what he did for the city. I just know that he was just all over the news because there's video of him smoking crack with a prostitute. Your mayor smoking crack. Yeah. Rob Ford, he pulled it off.
Yeah, he pulled it off well. PFT, what do you think of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who will be running for president?
I publicly endorse RFK Jr.
Okay. So apparently he was...
That's Billy's first ever public endorsement of a candidate.
A couple interesting facts about him. He was arrested for heroin possession back in the day.
Okay.
And now he's married to that the woman from Curb, Larry David's wife in the first like five seasons.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cheryl?
Yeah, Cheryl. So if he gets elected, Cheryl will be our first lady.
That's kind of cool.
Which is very cool. I honestly knew nothing about him until like he popped up that he was running for president.
Don't know that much about the guy either. He's running as a Democrat, which I don't know if that's a good, it's probably a bad strategy for him.
No, it's a good one.
Why?
You get him on a podium?
Yeah.
Against, I mean, who's his competition?
Well, it's not an open like they're not primarying Joe. Joe's going to run for president.
I think there's a very good chance that Joe doesn't run again.
Do you think? No,
he's already announced it.
Yeah, he's running.
Yeah, but I just think there's a very good chance he doesn't get.
He might die.
Something might happen.
But Billy, he's already like announced that he's.
I know, but like you know, let's not count our eggs before their chickens before they hatch.
He's already president. I mean, the eggs have hatched.
How many Democrats do you think are going to vote for Robert Kennedy Jr.?
He's very anti-vaccines. I think.
Mm-hmm. No,
he's old school anti-vax too.
Yeah, like autism. Like,
no,
yeah.
But I think, have you heard his opinion on his uncle and father's assassination? Have you heard his like breakdown of how it happened, how Sahar was definitely an MK Ultra
Sirhan
operative?
Sirhan. So I know he's very skeptical about that. Yeah,
he's going to go after the apparatus that kept the UFOs from us.
I'm just telling you, in the real world, I don't know how many Joe Biden voters are going to see Robert Kennedy Jr. and be like, I'll vote for him instead of Joe.
You know, my grandfather was a Kennedy Democrat. I'm going to be a Kennedy Democrat.
What is a Kennedy Democrat?
It's cool like, Democrat.
No, it's like a rich Democrat.
A rich Catholic Democrat.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I don't know. He was just the police union. They were like... big on that.
That's the Irish.
Yeah,
you just want to
an Irish Democrat.
The crazy thing is, like, there's nobody on earth that's more Irish in America than Joe Biden. Joe Biden is like the every chance that he gets, he takes a shot at England. He's like, fuck you, I'm Irish.
Yeah, but yeah.
But he also made a comment about the Irish that like that really pissed some people off.
Yeah,
what was it like?
He was saying that I'm not actually Irish. None of my cousins are in prison.
That's a good line. That's a funny joke.
Or he was like, so he's sober. He like never drank his entire life. So he's like, so I don't know if you can really call me Irish.
You can't trust a guy with no vices.
And then he also said, I just want you to know, I may be Irish, but I'm not stupid. I don't know how really meant by that.
Yeah, see, he's not actually Irish.
No, I mean, these are all funny jokes that he's making about Irish people as an Irish person.
Mm-hmm.
If Joe Biden only talked about Irish people and his like Irish background, I think people would like him way more. It's when he just starts, when he goes off script, starts falling down. That's actually, that's the most Irish thing about him. He's always falling down on shit.
I think he accidentally told Irish leaders to lick the world too, but that was just a slip. He meant to say something else.
Lick the world?
Yeah. Yeah, he said, so thank you all. God bless you all. And let's go. Let's go lick the world. Let's get it done. Thank you. And then ended the speech.
What?
Respect. That was just a faux pas.
How is this guy going to get it?
He's definitely running.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to win, but he's going to run.
It's crazy
again.
Just being well spoken. Like, I mean, I can't tell you how great of a president Barack Obama was, but like he was incredible at speaking. So it's like, True. Yeah, I liked him because every time I saw him speak, it was just like he was really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Big T, let me ask you, if Barack was your neighbor, I'm not talking about any sort of like political stuff, just as a human being, Obama lives next to you in Chicago. You think you like him? You think
seems like a cool guy.
Yeah. I think across the political spectrum, most people will be like, mm-hmm. That's my neighbor Barack. He's the man.
Yes.
I'd love
He seems like a cool guy. I mean, he couldn't get elected as a Democrat now, but which is part of the reason he's likable.
Well, I think he could get elected he definitely would get elected if it was possible as a Democrat now.
Oh, I don't think any chance.
If 2008 Barack ran right now, on 2008 Barack's policies, he would not get
no chance.
Not
wouldn't even get past the primaries.
More importantly, I knew a guy that played pickup with Barack, and turns out, like, if you needed a bucket, Barack could get you a bucket.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to play that. Yeah, it turns out he was not a liability on defense, and like if you know he wasn't a guy that if you gave him the ball, it would that was a liability. He wasn't like you know putting up serious stats. He wasn't the guy on the court, but he could get a bucket.
I do think that there should be a combine for presidents.
Yeah.
I want to know our stats. Yeah.
My friend invited me to see Bill Clinton speak in New York like a month ago, and he can still speak pretty well, or at least better than Joe Biden. And it's crazy. He's actually younger than Joe.
I was going to say, they've got to be like the same age.
No, he's actually younger than Joe Biden, even though he was president a long ass time ago.
Mm, that's like Lamar Jackson younger than Joe Burrow.
Oh,
it's sure. It's weird to think about, but they were the exact same, like politically, they were at the same point in their lives back when Bill Clinton ran for president in 1992. And Biden, can you imagine Bill Clinton still being president?
Like, Bill Clinton's 4 years younger than Biden.
That's wild.
Biden's the Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, he is. He is. I think Joe Biden maybe like if we're talking just strictly in a combine situation, testing physical numbers, I don't think that he would be in the top like 5% of the spider chart on anything just compared to other politicians. Physically. Now if you look back 20 years ago, I bet you Biden could dunk.
Yeah, I think he played sports in college.
He played football, but quit because his grades were so bad.
Yeah, I bet he used to be able to be like a decent athlete.
I bet he's like really good at pool.
Yeah, seems like our bowling.
But just because he's the only sober person at the bar.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. Yeah, and he's been sandbagging you all night. He's like, let's put $20 on this one.
Yeah,
and takes everyone's money. Trump could beat everyone in golf.
Barack Obama's pretty good at golf, I think.
We should have that matchup. That should be the match.
Holy shit.
I do think Barack would definitely beat Trump.
In golf?
Yeah. If like you had to hold him to it though.
Yeah, that's my other question. It's is Trump allowed
need
to cheat?
A third party score.
Can you imagine the numbers that would do?
Unreal.
I mean, you could fund the entire next congressional budget based off the numbers that would do in a live stream.
By the way, Trump is definitely on Ozempic. The dude's been dropping weight weirdly, and that I think is going to affect his drive. And he doesn't have the gravitas he once had.
You think he really?
Yeah, I think I saw the picture of him the other day. I was like, little bit of weakness there.
You just think he's too skinny now?
He doesn't have the mass he had before. Like, the guy used to be 6'3", 230, 240. Yeah, but now he's definitely like hovering around 220, and I'm like, oh, hey.
I think he's probably down to like 235 now.
Yeah.
240. Look, but he was probably like 280.
I had this vision in my head of him sumo wrestling Kim Jong-un. And if I don't think he can win that matchup anymore.
You know how tiny Kim Jong-un is?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think he wins.
Kim Jong-un has apparently ballooned.
Yeah.
And is very fat. I saw a headline that said, like, Kim Jong-un is like,
yeah, he's been
a 300-pound insomniac right now that just goes through like binges of smoking and drinking. It's not looking good. Mm-hmm. It was a hilarious headline. I want to find it.
And there's there are pictures. I think North Korea is accusing other countries of photoshopping.
Oh, this
pictures
is hilarious.
Fatter.
North Korean's Kim Jong-un, now a 308-pound insomniac in a vicious cycle of smoking and boozing.
I think I think he's more of a threat in like a belly bump situation when it comes to it.
Do you think he's happy, Kim Jong-un?
I mean, sometimes you can be in a vicious cycle of smoking and boozing and still be happy.
Yeah. Just because he's 308 pounds and he drinks and smokes all day, that doesn't mean that he's down bad.
But
that can mean that he's up good.
But he's also an insomniac. Usually you're not super happy when you can't sleep at all.
I mean, think about it. He is essentially the king of North Korea. He gets anything that he wants. He has it all.
He has it all.
But he doesn't have true friends.
Yeah.
Or an uncle, because he shot tank shells at all of them.
Dude, I got to see a recent photo of him. Oh, and he smokes Marlboros. He smokes U.S. imported Marlboros. So he's 5'8", 308 pounds. Solid.
That's a beast.
Yeah, he's a fucking beast, dude.
That's a nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Donnie, you want to talk a little darts?
Yeah, sure. I would recap that. That was a blast. My second time at darts.
Yeah. Was this time better or worse than last year?
It was, I think there was more people. I had just as much fun. The only thing I was upset about is during the last match, someone came up with a microphone and a camera, started doing an interview. And I was like, oh, this is like darts TV or something. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is really cool. So start doing the interview. It goes extremely long. Halfway through, I realized that it's just like a fan, I don't know, who like maybe has a YouTube channel or something. And then I missed the final round like while this was going on. But I didn't like know how to tell him to fuck off. But no, he was a very nice guy.
I saw you back there getting an interview. I did a couple minutes with him, and he was talking to me about Hong Kong sevens and getting piss thrown at us.
Yes.
And I was like, well, we haven't been hit by piss yet, but the night is young. And then the final round was about to start, and I had some money on it. So I was like, hey, I got to go. I see him walk up, makes a beeline to you. And he probably interviewed you for about 10 minutes.
Yes, it was long.
In the middle of the darts, yeah.
In the first 5 minutes, I was like, I'm going to be on Dart TV. This is sick. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, well, okay. Yeah. I don't really know what is going on, but a very friendly guy. So I missed that last match, but the last match was a blowout, right?
It was 8-0, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like last year, maybe it more came down to the wire. Last year, the guy with the mohawk, mm-hmm. I think he was in the finals. It was him versus Van Gerwen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was intense. I mean, yeah, the vibes there are similar to Hong Kong Sevens. I think the only difference is Hong Kong Sevens, you also had 14-year-olds blackout drunk, where here it was only 21+.
People of age. There were brawls in the stands. There were some fights.
Yeah, I saw a clip of that. Did you see that happen in live time?
I didn't see it happen when it happened, but when I was watching the clip, those were guys that we were hanging out with earlier on, right when we got into darts. The group of guys that were dressed up as wrestlers.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they were right when we came in. We had a beer with them right when we got into the place. And then next thing I know, they're fighting a bunch of bald. I'm going to assume that they were British guys.
Yeah.
They looked very British.
Yeah.
The guys that they were fighting, they're like polo shirts and bald. Yeah, that guy's from England. But yeah, there's some brawls, a lot of beer being served. It was such a drunk crowd, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone was hammered.
Sure was, but worth it.
Definitely worth it. If there were darts, if there was like a darts tournament once a month, how frequently do you think that you go to darts?
If there was always like a solid crew, I feel like that's what makes it fun. If it was just me and a friend, I don't know if I would go every month. Maybe I would go once every 2 months.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you lock in and you know the rules, it's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I think watching rugby sevens might be a little more fun, but darts was up there, and I think it has a lot of room to grow in the U.S.
I think any time that you can get together and pregame for a sporting event for 3 hours, you're going to have a fun time at that event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if darts was more frequent, it wouldn't be such an event.
It is special because it's
an annual.
An annual tradition, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it would be fun to go to I think the largest darts tournament is in the UK once a year. Like, that's, like, the official, like, darts world championship.
Yeah.
And this is just, like, the U.S. Open of darts, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and the guy that won, Michael Van Gerwen, the dude that he beat in the finals was Jeff, the Canadian guy. That dude, Jeff, beat the Mohawk guy in the qualification round that took place the night before. So Jeff was, like, the biggest underdog in the world. He was plus 10,000 to win the entire darts, and he was in the finals, and the lights were too bright for Jeff.
And Jeff surprisingly looks kind of like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, he did.
I thought was interesting. Yeah, where are the biggest? Yeah, the PDC World Darts Championship at the Alexandra Palace in London. I'd like to go to that. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't you at darts, Big T?
That's not my scene.
No.
130 people drinking all day and then going to a darts match. Mm-hmm. That's not me.
You would have had fun.
I hope y'all had fun.
Billy, why weren't you there?
Well, I was at a funeral, but I would have been at the PLL if I wasn't at a funeral, so I wouldn't have been able to make it.
I accidentally texted Billy on Friday night. It's kind of a funny story. So I was hanging out with Jeff D'Lo and Rudy and a few other guys, and we were down in the West Village. And we started talking about Billy McFarland and Firefest for some reason. And I was like, you know what? I'll text Billy McFarland, see if he wants to come hang out. And Jeff Lowe was like, yeah, hell yeah, let's get Billy out here. So I go into my phone. I text Billy McFarland. Hey, Billy, what's up? It's PFT. A bunch of guys from Barstool are down here hanging out by your old office. Was wondering if you want to come out, have a beer. And then I get a text back in like, I don't know, 10 minutes. And it's Billy Football. I accidentally texted that to Billy Football. And he was like, I would love to, but I'm at a funeral right now. And I was like, well, I'm full transparency. I definitely did not mean to text this to you. Did you think that that was meant for you?
So you said your old office, and I thought you meant our old office. You like mistyped.
Yeah.
I thought you were just drunk and I don't even know. So I was just like, I'm not going to be like, yo, wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I was just like, might as well just be like, sorry, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, so then I texted the actual Billy McFarland, and he couldn't make it out on Friday. And then Saturday, I'm hanging out at darts, getting ready to go into the darts, and I'm with Jeff D. Lowe again. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see what Billy McFarland's up to, see if he wants to come out to darts. So I hit him up again, and he was down to ride. He's like, I can't get there for a couple hours, though. Do you want to hang out afterwards? We ended up not linking up afterwards, but I think that's my new thing. It's just, on weekends, if I'm out drinking, I'm going to invite Billy McFarland to do stuff.
No,
yeah.
No,
do you have a problem with that, Billy? Like, if PFT and Billy McFarland become friends, or
my problem with that is that he fumbled the easiest bag ever.
He was ducking me.
Like, it was such bullshit.
I think that Billy's big problem is he doesn't want me to have another Billy in my life.
No, I really don't care if you have another Billy in your life.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't care at all.
No, seriously,
not mad at all.
I
have
another PFT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Who?
I think to be fair, he just thought he was going to lose to you and was like, yeah, I don't think it's worth the money to publicly embarrass myself at Rough and Rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, he needs it just, it made so much sense to promote his new business on our platform. And also he would get a chunk of change and we definitely sell the fuck out of it. And like,
and you guys would raise some money for the Bahamas.
Yeah. And then I'd fuck him up. But I wasn't like too open about that with him.
Yeah. Well, all right, Billy. Well, your side business deal with other Billy has nothing to do with my budding friendship with Billy McFarland.
Dude. You're
what?
No, you're giving him free publicity and he's not.
No, I just want to hang out with him. This wasn't for content.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not.
You are mad that there's another Billy.
No, I'm not mad at all. I just think it's stupid on your part.
Why?
Because you're like.
What publicity am I giving him? If
dude, this guy. Never mind.
Billy, that's what Billy says when he doesn't know what to say.
No, I'm just, okay, we can really get into it. You're literally going to be giving, like, this guy's getting zero interactions on all of his stuff. He constantly tries to interact with us to get, interactions and stuff, and you're just, you know, giving him free.
I wasn't going to post about anything.
Well, you're talking about it right now.
Yeah, after the fact, but I'm saying, like, we're just going to hang out. Me, Jeff D. Lowe, and Billy, we're going to chop it up.
Okay, I don't care.
So is Firefest 2 actually happening?
You're literally going to help him promote Firefest 2. And
how?
By just even mentioning him in this podcast.
By saying his name?
Yeah. I've been strictly anti-interactions with him because...
Ever since he decided to duck you. But when he was going to fight you...
No, he was stringing me along,
uh-huh.
But he was never going to do it. And he was just promoting.
I think Billy is jealous that I'm better friends with Billy McFarland than he is.
No. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, Billy's definitely.
I know.
Billy, you're upset.
I'm not upset. You're trying to make me sound upset.
No, I'm not.
I mean, if he offered me free tickets to Firefest 2, travel and all that stuff, I would promote it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do a couple posts about it.
If it happens. Plus, yeah, that's something that our sales team would have to handle.
So now Billy's like, you're actually not allowed to hang out with Billy McFarland.
No, you're not.
Because of sales.
Look,
Billy is so I'm triggered that
I'm not.
Yes,
that no, I'm becoming not. So close to Billy. Okay. Yeah, you're not upset at all.
I literally don't care.
No, I know.
I'll call Billy right now.
I know you don't care.
I'll call Billy
no.
right now.
No.
Oh, why not? I thought we were all pro Billy here.
Will you call him?
Well, I think we're going to become friends with him, right? I'll call him right now.
Okay, what are you going to say to him?
I'm going to be like, hey, dude, what you up to? You want to hang out?
Oh, so now all you right, want to be his friend first.
Yeah, no, call him. Billy, call him, see if he wants to hang out with you.
No, he won't want to hang out with me.
Now, do we have to tell him he's being recorded? Because we don't want a Chet Hanks situation.
Whatever.
Okay.
Billy's not going to call him.
I think it's just stupid that you're giving this guy a platform.
If he goes and grabs a beer with him, he's not giving him a platform.
Whatever.
New York's a one-party consent state. You only need one party to know you're recording.
He's probably in New Jersey.
You could call him right now.
Why do you think he's in New Jersey?
Because I literally had multiple conversations with this guy trying to close this and get this going, and it just was the most infuriating thing ever. That's more what it's about, is that he literally the Firefest guy fucked me. Like, he is a fucking bad guy.
Because he wanted to fight you.
No, I tried to do business with him. And yeah, the Firefest guy is a fraud.
Billy had spent that money already, is what I think the problem was.
No, it just made so much sense on paper for everybody involved, and he just wasn't.
Could you imagine that if he had lost to you, which he probably would have, that would not have made sense for him?
If he had lost me, he would have gotten gotten promotion for his new pirate in Firefest 2. He would have given himself good PR and people would have thought he was a good sport for getting in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's not like I would have killed him. It would literally just be 180 seconds of boxing,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, rough and rowdy boxing is not that dangerous comparatively to 12 5-minute rounds where guys' heads get so hot and they get hit so many times that they actually get brain damage.
Okay.
It was very infuriating how he dealt with it. So that's why it's... Anyway, we can even cut all this. It's stupid.
No, this is staying in. Why would we cut this?
Because it's just it might make Rough and Rowdy look bad.
How?
That two fighters were talking and trying to make a big fight.
No, I think that's what we do.
We've already discussed this publicly.
Anyway, it was just irritating that how he dealt with it.
Okay. Well, we're going to hang out a ton. Cool. Me and Billy. I'm going to invite Billy to my birthday party. I'm going to see if Billy wants to move to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
I wonder
it.
If Billy McFarlane wants a spot on macrodosing.
Go for it.
You're so jealous of Billy
McFarlane. I'm not, dude. I don't even like. Like you're trying to get me angry, but I'm just so much more zen nowadays.
All right. Well, we got some ice cream coming up to the studio here in a second.
Is it
so
here?
So let's take a break. It's not here yet, but I do have to. I'm gonna go pee, and then we can give Big T some ice cream and see if we can change his mind.
This is your second lunch, Billy.
I know. I also have my other second lunch here.
Oh, perfect. Third lunch.
Speaking of Firefest, did you guys hear about the kid in the Bahamas who jumped off the boat?
That's really sad.
That's extremely sad. It wasn't like a full-sized cruise ship.
No, but that's why it's worse. He got eaten.
Like immediately, because it seems like in the video, it seems like there would have been a way to get him back on the boat somehow.
Well, it was a small cruise, so then he jumped in the water. I was reading up a lot about man overboard drills, and the most important thing is to have one person staring at them the whole time, never looking away, because one wave can make a guy disappear. Like on the Carnival cruises, out of like 268 people that went overboard in the past couple years, like not that many were recovered. I'll look at the actual stuff, but
also a Carnival cruise ship is much, much taller. So falling to the water from the top deck of a cruise ship, you probably die instantly.
But also there's still, you can see them better. Since 2000, 284 people have gone overboard or fallen off cruise ships, and a further 41 have fallen off large ferries. Approximately two people go overboard, and between 17 and 25% are rescued. That is a terrible.
So how many go over? You said two go
284
over?
284 and...
In how many years?
In 23 years, and only 17% and 25% arrest. Between 17 and 25% arrest.
That's a shockingly large amount of people that go overboard on cruise ships.
Yeah.
So
there's probably a few of them that are trying to commit suicide, but then there's people that just accidentally jump or
they're throwing their wives off.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple cases of that.
Yeah.
But this guy, I think, was just dared by his friends. Just like trying to.
But the thing is, because the guy, you can see him in the video, he's swimming and has pretty free, and the boat wasn't moving that fast.
Apparently in the video, in the extended video, you can actually see a shark in the water.
So he just gets torn apart by sharks.
Wait. I saw one clip of it, and then people in the comments were circling things and saying, here's a shark fin, and it was just his leg.
Well, think about this. If the Bahamas, right? It's the Bahamas, relatively between islands, I think is pretty shallow. So having a search party in that area, and I think all the currents are like, it's pretty easy to find something floating. You'll wash up on one of the beaches. Yeah. Zero, nothing. Can't find them.
I was just there in the Bahamas. I saw a lot of sharks.
Yeah.
That would be a tough way to go.
And then people are posting the comments of around the same area, them throwing pieces of meat into the water.
Yeah.
Like off a cruise ship. And then the sharks swarm.
Yeah.
So it's just such a sad story, because some 18-year-old was on a graduation trip.
It is very sad.
Probably drinking for the first time heavily. And he was like, yo, dude, you won't jump in the water? Oh, fuck yeah, I'll do it.
It would be sad. It would also be terrifying if you're that kid, if you don't get eaten by sharks and then the boat just pulls away and it's pitch black outside and it's dark and you're just floating in the ocean.
That's terrifying.
And it's just floating there for an extended period of time until you get exhausted. That would be a very tough way. No matter what happened to the kid, it's bad.
I actually cut this if we're not allowed to talk about this, but Brianna was lost at sea recently.
Mm-hmm. She talks about it on our TikTok.
Did she talk about it on our TikTok?
What?
Brianna had
pulled in a riptide.
She had to have the National Guard come look for her.
Yeah, they had a full search for her.
Mm-hmm, in Florida.
Yeah.
She got sucked out into the ocean?
Yeah. Riptide.
It is
where
riptide
was the beach?
Season.
I believe she was in Del Rey.
Yeah.
Which is in Florida?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you get sucked out to sea in a riptide, swim parallel to the shore to gather riptide.
Mm-hmm. Terrifying. Imagine just treading water.
How long was she in the water for?
I could tread water for a while.
Yeah, like hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I don't think she was sober.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. But that would make it so much scarier.
2 hours is such a long time to be out there.
I don't know the specifics of, she's upstairs. I don't know the specifics of how like she was treading water or anything. But yet her friends had to deploy the national Coast Guard.
She had
Grace.
I mean, again, the Coast Guard, unsung heroes of the military.
Billy.
Brianna's had a bomb. Rough go.
No, two flotation devices that probably helped.
He's talking about her fake tits. That's so
I mean,
bad,
think
Billy.
About it. That was probably like a factor. Like
it was not.
Think about buoyancy. Buoyancy.
Well, think about like Stephen Che. If that was him, he'd be dead right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably like, I don't know.
Billy, think about which is stronger, two silicone implants or a riptide in the ocean?
Or no, what's more buoyant?
Riptides aren't buoyant.
Yeah.
No, but she, never mind. That was, I think that might, I don't know.
That was a bonk.
Should we call her down and ask her
it's
if
not
her
a
tits
bonk.
Help?
It was, yeah.
Billy,
yeah.
It says right here, breast implants are not a flotation device. They but will not make you buoyant. It says they will not make you buoyant.
More buoyant?
They're not capable of making a person float.
Oh, they're negatively buoyant.
So yeah. She's actually a very
strong
swimmer.
Do not know what silicone is solid.
So she beat a riptide on expert mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I was just thinking of those. It was from a scientific standpoint.
Mm-hmm. When you get breast implants.
But it was anti-scientific. So how was it from a scientific standpoint?
Look, I'm good just question. Like we're all thinking, how the hell did this girl tread water for 2 hours, right?
Yeah, her fake boobs definitely didn't come to my mind.
Well.
She's from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
There you we go. Can tread water for hours.
Yeah.
She,
Boston tough.
Yes. Silicone implants are like not light.
I don't know.
You need to get more familiar with silicone implants, Billy.
Yeah,
or maybe not.
Get your.
But it's also like, say if Doug's was pulled out by a riptide, I would like his chances a lot better than if a Chris Klemmer was pushed out.
Yeah, because like Doug's could float.
Yes,
he's buoyant as fuck.
Chris Klemmer, I don't believe he can float.
Vibbs,
he doesn't look like a very floatable guy.
Vibbs would just fall through the water. It's like a crack in the water.
Yes. I don't know. I think Klemmer's a little thinner than Vibbs.
Yeah.
Klem looks like he's out of like Grapes of Wrath, like Depression era hobo.
Yeah.
Klemmer
doesn't really. Yeah. He's also never peed in his bathing suit.
That's
which
weird.
Is wild.
That's a lie for attention.
He's telling the truth.
That's the first thing I would do if I got sucked out on a riptide. I would just pee all the water out, make myself buoyant. I've got a little airbag.
Yeah. Now, I can see if you don't want to pee in like a pool or the shower. He thinks it's very weird to pee in the shower. But even if he's in a lake or the ocean, he has never once pissed his bathing suit.
Do you ever hear that experiment about the rats who had hope tread water for longer?
No.
So, sorry. Like, it's a rats treading. Like, so basically drowning rats in psychology experiment. So the rats that had hope, where if they'd been saved once right before they died drowning, ended up treading water for longer.
Yeah, I can see that.
Than rats who were never saved.
Yeah, if you believe that you're going to be saved, you just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing.
So I went like, did Brianna think she was going to be saved?
So I just texted her producer because they're recording right now. I just texted her producer, Gia. And I said, are you recording? I need Brie to talk about her being in the riptide. And she was like, she wasn't in the riptide. She was just drunk on the beach with Dixie D'Amelio and they lost her.
Okay.
Oh my God. She wasn't in the water? She wasn't in the water?
Like, they were just concerned before she was, I guess.
Who was the one that said that first?
They weren't in the water?
Billy.
Yeah. That wasn't told to me. I was like, I feel like it would have been bigger news if Brianna was just like treading water in the ocean for 2 hours.
That's how the story was told to
she
me.
She said, no, she just went down the beach with Dixie and Grace thought she was lost. And we said, I thought she had the Coast Guard call. She goes, no, oh my God.
No,
goes,
I just
the
heard
police were helping them look for her. That was what
Billy, was Grace. Was this a dream that you had?
No. Grace. I talked to Grace about it and this is how she made it sound.
This is a pretty big gap in stories.
No, I
being
think,
drunk
I
on the beach in a riptide.
I don't know how this gets lost in translation.
No, this was lost in translation. I saw Grace.
I'm going to still tell her to come in after to set the record straight.
All right, we welcome on very special guests, Brianna Chicken Fry and Grace O'Malley. There was an interesting story that just came up a second ago, and then it took a hard right turn.
Okay.
And so we're trying to figure out what's true and what's not, maybe where this got lost in translation.
Can I quickly say just what we heard?
Yes, yes.
So we heard you were pulled out to sea by a riptide and had to spend about 2 hours treading water until the Coast Guard rescued you.
Great. What?
This is what Billy told us.
This is what.
What? Grace, Grace, remember when we were sitting? And you were like, yeah, we lost Brianna. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, they had drones looking for her in the water.
Yes.
And okay. You kind of implied that she was in the water when they were looking for
implied,
her.
Implied, keyword.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, she drifted down. So we all went swimming.
Okay.
And then I go up on the shore.
Uh-huh.
And then I turn around. Where'd she go? No idea. Can't find her. So my head, I thought she did, she went out to the ocean. I thought she was out there.
Oh, okay.
I was with another gal too.
She was with another gal,
mm-hmm.
And they just drifted sideways, not deep.
We drifted like probably a mile,
yeah.
down the water, and we were just like we were like in probably like 3 feet of water, but we didn't go out. Grace thought we went out, and we took a right, we took a hard right.
Was it one of those things where your feet could touch the ground, but you were just kind of like floating a little bit,
yes.
And then sometimes standing up and sometimes floating,
yes,
and the current took you down,
yeah.
And then okay. So
because we were floating, looking at the stars.
Okay.
Same week as the kid going missing on the cruise ship.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm hammered, wasted, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And in my eyes, she was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was at night.
This was, it was like 2 a.m.
It was after the Celtics lost.
Yeah. Okay. So we were down pretty bad.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you're just staring at the universe, contemplating life.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to get yourself. Yeah.
It was beautiful to me. And then I turn around and I'm like, we were skinny dipping, all of us. So we turn mm-hmm. around and we're like, oh, they took our fucking clothes. So we're just like, we have to float forever because we didn't see them.
And the drones were just circling overhead.
There was a helicopter and I was like, what are they looking for?
So the Coast Guard was contacted.
I guess, yeah, that would be the Coast Guard, yeah.
So did you like run to a police officer and just say, we can't find my friend?
So I was scream crying her name. Brianna! And the other girl's friend was scream crying her friend's name, and at one point some guy came up to us and he's like, do you want me to call the police? I'm like, yeah, I guess so, yeah. And then cruises showed up, quad showed up, I was telling the fellas they weren't doing enough, we got to find them faster. And so they said, dude, we have an infrared drone looking for them, and that's the helicopter, that's for her too. And I was like, okay.
What was the reunion like when you realized she was safe?
I ran to her with her clothes, and I was so happy to see her, and then I got mad,
yeah.
Like a mom. Like I'm happy you're safe, but I'm mad at you.
Don't you ever do that to me? Don't again. You?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Yeah, that was well, it was crazy because they pulled the quads pulled up to us and they're like, "Are you Brianna and Dixie?" And we're like, "Yeah." Like what are we doing wrong? And they're like, "Your friends think you're dead."
Like, oh wow!
And I thought they were assholes because I thought they pranked us and stole our clothes and went back to the hotel.
Got it.
Because everywhere on the beach looks the same.
Yeah.
So they thought they were just.
But I wasn't treading water for hours.
I heard that you were. I heard you got pulled out to sea on a riptide. This is what you were told.
Yeah.
And that you were struggling for life for like 2 to 3 hours, which is about as long as a human can possibly.
This is what Grace made it sound like.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess that would have been cooler.
Yeah.
I was like, what, they got caught in a riptide? And you're like, yeah. And
it pulled
like,
sideways, though.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
But we didn't even know we were drifting. Yet.
Yeah, because when it's dark, you can't see your frame of reference on the beach. So the beach just looks like the beach looks like the beach as you go. Yeah.
And then we look up and we're like, oh, we're at the same spot, but our friends left us.
Yeah, she thought I was pulling a big old prank.
Yeah, so I was mad at her. She was mad at me.
But you didn't think that she was lost at sea.
No, because she got out of the water.
Okay.
I don't like being naked.
Yeah, so she got out, and I was like, oh, they pranked us. But she thought I was dead. But there was no treading water or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you did some superhuman water treading, and I was about to be like, how did you do that?
Did you debunk it?
I kinda how long do you think you could tread water?
How long do you think I got? Like an hour?
You? Yeah.
Yeah.
She used to be a diver, don't you know? I was a diver.
Oh, you used to dive?
I was a diver in college, yeah.
What was your highest difficulty dive?
Oh, I don't know, like a
corkscrew?
Inward 2, 1.5 maybe?
You could do an inward 1.5?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. For those that don't know, it's when you're facing...
facing your standing.
Inward. You're like you're doing a backflip.
Careful, Menti.
And then you... then you jump... and flip forward towards the diving board, and it's pretty difficult.
Wow, yeah.
I used to dive for a second.
Really? I wasn't that good. I only dove for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How high can you jump off of and still survive?
I don't know.
I jumped off someone that was like 90 feet almost.
I did 100 cliff jumping in Vermont.
So wait, back up.
That's like 10.
Because a second ago, literally one Maybe. Second ago, I was like, Billy, what's the highest thing you've ever jumped off? He goes, I don't know. And then Donnie goes, 90 yeah. feet. And then Billy goes, I actually did 100.
No, what you said, what's the highest you could die jumping off of?
Oh, okay.
It wasn't specific yeah. to me. So right. thanks for gaslighting me.
He needs
me.
Really specifics.
I did gaslight him. I did gaslight him.
I learned something today, though.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for joining
thank
us.
You.
Thank
glad,
you.
I'm glad you're both
here.
Alive.
Yeah. Glad you're here.
Glad we hashed this one out. Yeah. Sorry if I elaborated anything by accident.
No, I'm going to stick with that first story, actually.
I should stick with that.
Yeah, there were sharks that were
circling me. Yeah, and I punched them in the face.
There probably was sharks near you, and you just had no idea.
Yeah, that's the scary part. Yeah, that's where the alcohol's bad thing.
Yeah. Don't swim in skinny dip.
Yeah.
You guys pee in the water, right?
Obviously. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, Vibs doesn't.
And we were the first ones Clemmer to say doesn't. We don't wash our hands as well. So
Vibs does.
Yeah. Oh, my mistake. Clemmer doesn't pee in the water. I mean, fish take a piss all the time in the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the
warm, we're a giant that's toilet. Their toilet. Yeah.
The warm water, that layer, that's where they use the bathroom.
That's fish piss?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where they prefer to excrement.
Interesting.
Who wants to be honest, though? Who pees in pools?
Oh, yeah. You kidding me?
Okay.
You guys pee in hot tubs?
Sometimes.
Hot tubs?
It depends.
Hot tub's too intimate.
It depends on the people that I'm in the hot tub with.
Okay.
Mm. If it's like someone very close, then maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
If it's a big hot tub.
All right.
If it's like an elderly couple.
I've said too much.
I'm wazzing.
It depends on who. If it's like a bunch of people in a hot tub, no. But if it's like my hot tub, yes.
If they're in your hot tub.
I'll swim in my own filth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll get out of here.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
And also, Brianna agrees with Big T on ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
Ice cream's mid?
Yeah, I like cookies.
I got some great ice cream right here. We can have some ice cream.
I don't think it's bad, but it's just like not my favorite snack.
All right, well, I don't want to waste ice cream on it.
Don't waste it.
That's good stuff.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. Thanks, guys. Cool.
Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Glad we cleared that up.
So glad to see you. I was worried sick.
Ice cream party.
All right, ice
cream. Oh, sweet.
It's like the last day of school.
PFT, thank you so much for getting the ice cream.
You're welcome. This is like $100 worth of ice cream.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Van Leeuwen's not cheap, if anything.
All right, so we're gonna have a little ice cream party here on Macrodosing, but it's going to go in a certain way where Big T is going to have to try all these flavors of ice cream. You're going to have to eat ice cream.
No, you got exclusively flavors I don't want from a lib-ass ice cream.
Let me tell you the flavors.
You already said.
Cookies and cream.
Fine.
Ooh.
Fine. There we go.
Dibs after.
Honeycomb.
Not eating that.
That
honeycomb
looks
that's
so
for
good.
It's for Democrats.
What? That sounds like...
That sounds sick, though.
Call me a Democrat.
Mint chip.
Fine.
Okay, so that's...
Do you like... In the fine if you pile. Were getting ice cream, would you choose that?
Mint chocolate chip?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
No,
PFT's such a mint chip, dude.
Dude, I don't think mint...
That sounds like an insult.
No, just
I
is.
I don't think mint should be used on anything that is edible.
That's what Trent says. He says, keep mint in the bathroom.
Yeah. Mint is for stuff that you're not supposed to eat.
Like black cherry chip.
Oh, trash. Yes. That's sounds my favorite good. Flavor.
Hate cherries.
Okay.
I would like.
I'm not a fan of coffee cookies. Ice cream.
Really?
No. Yeah, I like to keep coffee in the cup. I don't like tiramisu or coffee ice cream.
Malted cookie dough shake. Wait, Billy. Malted cookie dough shake.
That's intriguing.
It's intriguing because I know you like milkshakes, so I got that one for you.
Okay, thanks.
And then this one,
was wholly unnecessary.
Did you get the brown sugar one or no?
I did.
What's that one that you're holding?
This might be the brown sugar one because I ordered it. Let me open it up. It doesn't say anything on it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is the maple brown sugar. What do you think about that one, Big T?
That sounds lib-ish, but fine.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you is you'll try the malted cookie dough
just
shake.
Just
try the malted cookie dough
shake.
Throw
me the ice creams.
Do we have any spoons?
Yeah, I have spoons.
Nice.
Make sure to ASMR.
ASMR?
ASMR the ice cream in your mouth.
Here, Donnie, you get dibs on this one.
Oh, sick.
All right, Big T. Thank you, sir. All right, Big T ice cream taste test.
Malted cookie dough shake.
Oh, my God. Tell me if this is mid, Big T.
Subscribe to the YouTube.
Describe what you see. What you see, Big T.
It just looks like vanilla ice cream with a little bit of chocolate chip in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's fine. It's mid ice cream. This is what ice cream is. It's a. You think, oh, I want some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And then you eat four or five bites of it, and you're like, I don't really want this anymore.
You seem to be really digging in, though.
Yeah, you made me.
I didn't tell you to take five scoop. You keep. It looks like you like it.
I never said I dislike ice cream. I said it's mid.
Okay. Is that any better than mid, though?
No, this is perfectly mid. Also, it's just chocolate chip ice cream. They put these fancy lib-ass names on it. Malted cookie dough shake. It is vanilla ice cream with chocolate chips in it.
Billy, can you stop breathing into the mic directly? Mad Dog McKenzie, black cherry chip, honeycomb, or mint chip?
You can have mint chip.
Okay.
Which one do you want, McKenzie?
We have honeycomb and black cherry chip.
Can I do black cherry?
Yeah. Yes. You pass this over to her?
Yeah.
This is not the brown sugar.
It's not?
This is the peanut butter one that you got?
Well, then they shortchanged me on one of my ice creams.
You can file a report and be reimbursed.
To the Better Business Bureau. I will be in touch with them. Here you go, spoons. All right. Oop, that does it for macrodosing, nanodosing. Oh, we'll see you guys on Thursday. Oh, cool topic coming on Thursday.
This cookies and cream is...
I just opened it up, so it's fine.
You want to try something? I don't care if it's liberal.
Big topic coming on Thursday. We're going to do Operation Stargate. Please. The CIA tried to figure out a way to harness psychic abilities during the Cold War times, and they had people that were just sitting in rooms staring at animals trying to give them heart attacks using their brains. And they spent millions of dollars on this. So that's what we're talking about on Thursday. Love you guys.